Hello and welcome to the Mystic Cast, where you join Jack Stafford and Deborah Littleboy, members of the Aetherius Society, the cosmic religion for the Aquarian Age, as we break down the barriers between religion, science, metaphysics, philosophy, and mysticism, all of which are really only aspects of the self-same quest for truth. Please note, this is an independent program, not produced or fact-checked by the Aetherius Society. Today, our guest is Isabel Green. Hello, Isabel.
Hi, Jack. Thank you for having me on the program.
It's lovely to have you. Where are you joining us from?
Arizona. The United States.
Okay. Not an otherworldly location.
No, not exactly. Pretty close, though. Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about escaping the rebirth trap via samadhi. So a small topic. maybe you could kick us off. Before I make myself sound like an idiot, tell us a little bit about this subject.
Well, where do we begin, right? So you pass the ball on to me like that.
Or your story. Jack. I mean, how did you, begin as you usually begin?
Right. Okay. So if we focus on the subject of getting out of the reincarnation cycle, which all Eastern religions talk about that, and they carry suggestions that you're supposed to be recycled around Earth, paying off your karma, learning the lessons over and over until you purify yourself enough to be worthy of getting out of the reincarnation cycle. However, I have observed and learned through my own experiences and experiences that I have had in what we call the higher realms in the state of samadhi that I have been experiencing for the last 9 years regularly, then that you literally are able to get out of the whole system of reincarnation. If you do certain yogic practices and take yourself into the state of being that allows you to experience what we call the state of samadhi, but truly is the unity with the super consciousness or the state of omnipresence, and that bypasses the astral realm where the cycle of reincarnation is set up. I've had two near-death experiences where I experienced what happens within the astral plane, the cycle of reincarnation. And I've also I've taken hypnosis to go there and observe what happens. I've talked to many people about their near-death experiences. And I've also posted that question directly into the higher consciousness. And once you a comfortable merging with the oneness of the infinite field of information that we call source, you literally can get all your answers directly from there. So you no longer need any sort of teachings or teachers and stuff. So this is how I came about the subject I wrote a book about the subject, very short book, just to put my experiences in a very short format right there. I've also been doing healing sessions for people. And at the beginning of my career, I was invited for whatever reason to walk the people transitioning out of their bodies. And so in spirit form, and I observed the tunnel of white light. And sometimes there was more than one because we have extraterrestrial beings on the same level of consciousness as ourselves, as Earth plane, participating in our reincarnation cycle.
Maybe we just pause you there because,
right,
you know, there's a lot to digest. It was a lot. That was a brain dump. So maybe go back to the beginning then. What spiritual practices did you practice to get to experience the advances that you've undergone?
To experience the state of samadhi. So back in 2010, I learned the Kundalini Pranayama the breath work that started taking my filters down. And really, literally what separates us from the state of superconsciousness are the filters that we have here on this planet and our brain filters as well. And so I did that for about 3 years. And then I learned...
What kind of pranayama? Which exercises did you...
Specifically where you pull the kundalini energy from the root center up your spine, light up your spine, and
visualization
focus.
Exercise.
You're doing that with the breath. You're pulling, you're inhaling, and you're pulling the energy, your kundalini energy, into the upper centers. When you do that regularly, meaning every day, that
are you also
you
doing with the nostrils or are you with the
water? No, just apply the yoga locks, three lower centers, squeeze that, and push the energy up the spine. And that gives you a kundalini awakening. If you do that regularly for a short period of time, that gives you a kundalini awakening. I experienced the kundalini awakening 3 years into that practice. I started...
Can that be dangerous, though? Because some people have had... If you can't get the energy back down, I've heard that it can be dangerous.
I think the easiest thing ever is to get the energy back down. I'd be honest with you. I only speak from my experience. I know that the traditional yogic practices insist that you have to first be prepared for many, many years before you're allowed to practice this kind of technique. However, I learned it at a workshop without any preparation whatsoever, straight from the corporate environment, straight into this practice. And the first 3 years, what it did was show me my subconscious space, all my traumas. And so that started kind of clearing out. It helped me do the inner healing work to a certain degree.
But you must have experienced results quite quickly then to do it for 3 years. So you applied the locks and you did no holds. You just visualization longer, lengthening the breath.
No, you apply the locks, you
the mula bandha,
three lower centers, you squeeze that, you hold it as you inhale, and you pull the breath up to your crown center. That was what was I was doing at the beginning, for the first 3 years, and then you hold that on the same amount
of
counts.
Exercise.
As you inhaling, and then you're exhaling, and you do the same and back and forth for 15 minutes. So.
Sounds very simple, yeah.
Yeah. Then in 2014, so that's 4 years, 3 years later, in 2014, I learned how to couple this breath with the nighttime meditation. So I started getting up at the sacred hour. It's 3:30 in the morning, and I would do that breath. And I also learned, and by the way, that's in the Vedas, that's in the scriptures, where Krishna says, steady your spine, steady your neck, balance your breath, and bring your attention to the third eye and be free. And so this is what happened to me. I started doing the meditation in the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning, every single day with the breath work, and then sit. And then I had a kundalini awakening and experience of samadhi. So it literally took me 3 years, no preparation of any sort, no going through the steps of any sort that are traditionally suggested by the yogic practices. But all of the stuff that is suggested that you need to do prior, the change, complete change of consciousness occurs naturally as a natural side effect to experiencing samadhi, even one time, let alone if you are regularly...
This is cosmic consciousness, yeah, samadhi you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, stillness of the breath accompanied by the experience of omnipresence.
Wow.
The stillness of the mind accompanied by the experience of omnipresence, that changes your whole reality. That shows you, that brings you into this
one moment.
highest level of compassion for the planet, for the living beings. So you become the, you go into service naturally. You want to help naturally. It naturally occurs. You don't have to train yourself. Your abilities go back online, meaning your intuition, your access to the knowledge, the freedoms. That is the side effect of experiencing samadhi, even one time, let alone if you continue with the practices and amplify the practices year after year, and you're able to take yourself into samadhi regularly. That is absolutely, absolutely changes your life, absolutely changes your state of being. You become that person that the yogic traditions say you have to train to become first before you're allowed to experience.
Well, let me bring in Deborah here because I'm sure she has some big insights.
I don't have insights, but I have some questions, Isabella.
Of course.
Yeah. When on the breath, when you're bringing, you're raising the kundalini from the root through the chakras.
Right.
Do you then sort of open, so let's just take it in Deborah language, open up the root. Then do you, as you push the energy through the root, do you close the root so that there's a pressure to take it to the sacral? And I'm asking really is you need to keep the pressure going so that all the energy then goes to the next point and then to the next point. Is that the procedure? Almost like climbing?
What I learned, and I learned that I have to give credit right now to Dr. Joe Dispenza, his work. I learned the first variation of this practice at his workshop. And then I've experimented with it many times, and I've noticed what helps me to get into that experience faster. So I've added different elements to that. But no, you squeeze your, it's called apply the yoga locks, all three at the same time, the root center, the navel, and the solar plexus. You pull that in and you hold it while you are inhaling. And as you inhale and you lighten up your spine, you can visualize lighting up your spine because your spine is where the centers are located, that you are lighting up with your own life force, your prana. You're pulling... Yep, you're pulling that up, and then you can pause at the third eye level, which is just about like right there in the middle, in the back of the head. You can pause at the center, but it doesn't, like right here, it physically, technically is located in the back of the head right there. So you can pause it there, or you can, at the beginning, I was going all the way through just to get all the centers lit up. So the crown center, you pull it to the crown center while you're holding the locks on the inhale. And then you hold it for a while, then you release it and you allow the energy to drop back down.
And then you breathe out.
And you breathe out on that. And then you pull that back up again. Where your attention stops is where the energy is going to stop. This is why it's very important not to stop like at your throat center, not to stop. You can stop at the heart when you're good at it already, then that amplifies your heart center. I just did that recently and I experienced literally, Deborah, what I sent you last week was the next level, because there are different levels of samadhi that you can experience. And for the first time in 9 years, I actually got to experience what Yogananda calls the breathless state, where I actually brought the energy first into the heart and then the throat, and then, so not straight there, right, but the heart first and then the throat and then the third eye and then the crown, and I had all upper centers lit up, and then I observed that incredible peace started pulling me. The temperature changed. It seemed like in the room, it became perfect temperature. And then I noticed that I stopped breathing, and then my heartbeat subsided too. And then I was just in as the omnipresence. These were the last thoughts that I experienced. I was like, okay, my heart just stopped. My breath just stopped. I was completely absorbed into that state of consciousness, into the oneness, the unity, the energy that creates and sustains worlds. There are all these words for that. But that was the first time that I was able to completely depart, shut down the functions of the body. Been trying to do that since, and it's just like, dang, it's not working. So that's a desire. That's an attachment to the idea that I want to get there. I need to let go of that, and then it's going to become kind of normal for me too. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's the desire that you're supposed to let go of desires. You don't, because desires fall off naturally when you experience the state of that everything is there. Everything is already there. And you experience that every night. You come back, you're calm as you can get. As a matter of fact, getting the ambition to like, oh, let's do that, that's just not there. You're just in this incredible deep peace. But I still have a desire to learn how to shut down and control my prana to the point that I can repeat that experience again.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because we in the samadhi state that Dr. King explains, he actually shuts down the centers so that he describes what it's like when he's got to the heart center, where his hearing is so enhanced that he can hear the can hear the grass grow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it comes up and we go on. But his body is like paralyzed. He cannot move at that stage because he's closed off the centers. What I'm hearing, and I might have got this wrong, is that you are leaving some of the energy there. So you're taking it up, but it's not total energy going through. You're still leaving some in the pipe, so to speak.
Okay. So when the heartbeat stops and the breath stops, that's all energy out. All of it. You have departed completely. This is when I had to make a decision to bring myself back into the body, and the body wasn't breathing. And I was like, breathe. You know? So take a breath. Oh, here's my heart. My there we go. So that's the level of samadhi where everything shut down. Yes. But for 9 years before that, I was what you were saying about hearing the grass grow. I know these symptoms because that's your third eye amplified. That's your senses being able to perceive without the sensory organs. I can smell what's under the tree of my neighbors that are across the street, that the apple is rotting. I can smell it all the way in my house. I can smell like 10 miles away. And I have a mask on, blackout mask. And when that energy gets there, you get 360 vision. I've experienced being able to see through the blindfold, like look around my room kind of, but you don't need to turn around because you can see it all at the same time. So what he mentioned there about being able to hear that way, it's that your perception of the world does not dip your experience, that you have the ability to have the perception of the world that does not depend on the actual organs of like ears and eyes and nose to smell and stuff. So that's that eye, as far as I know, that's your third eye being on. So when the third eye is on, you have this antenna that gets you all of that input. That's it. So
Do you think that you had been training in previous lives as a yogi before you came here? Have you had any indication of what your past life's training might have been? Because it seems that you've come in as the very uncluttered soul. That's the way I see it.
I was very cluttered at the beginning, I tell you, at the beginning of this lifetime. And I have had many memories of past lives, including how I decided to come into Earth plane to help from a different planet altogether. I had a memory of being in utero. My mom, I had this lifetime, and I had a memory of coming out during a birth canal and the whole thing. Oh, that was really gross. And just coming into the physicality the first time. But I have never had a memory of myself as a yogic practitioner or a spiritual teacher. Maybe that's hidden. I have seen myself on the battlefield in like medieval times. I saw myself as a race car driver in the previous lifetime. For sure, my mother was dreaming about it when she was pregnant with me. And she could describe that same guy that I was seeing in my memories. So there was nothing, not even close to training. So if there were these lifetimes that where I was a yogi of some sort or a spiritual teacher of some sort, I am not aware of it. What I'm thinking is that the cosmic soul that, or a part of our multidimensional soul, a part of me that was on a different planet that decided to go to Earth. I remember very clearly where I had that, we received the distress call from Earth for help from the planet itself. And I was like, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
And instantly I started dropping frequency. We were non-physical, from non-physical into from air to water. It was like more and more dense into kind of like mud state and then into physicality. And you just, oh, you're so limited in the physical. I remember that was my very first my decision to come into Earth. So now I'm thinking maybe, that was before the dinosaurs. So I've been recycled here all this time. And maybe now in this incarnation, I'm finally connected with the purpose of the idea of why I came here, what I came here for that kind of service to assist the planet. I think everything in between, I was just collecting data or just was not able to get out of Earth plane.
So you say we, so do you, your memory, it was you and other entities, as so it's like, come on mates, we're going down there, and you came together dropping through the vibrational.
When I said I meant the race that was the non-physical race that was living on the planet where I remember receiving the distress call from Earth plane. That's when I said we.
Wow.
And it was a free choice that because we didn't have to go. It was just kind of like being received in a non-physical way, kind of like a vibration was coming, the sound or the feeling of distress. And where we lived in our reality, we didn't have any such distress. We didn't have this kind of discomfort or anything. And I felt very free. I felt very comfortable in my ability to work with energy and to be complete just, maybe the, I don't know if it was omnipresence, but it was just very free state of being when we were not limited by what we are limited here on Earth by, right? So I had this just a very faint feeling or thought. Well, didn't have the brain because it was non-physical, so I can't say thought, but the feeling was, let me go and help them. And it instantly started. I started instantly being pulled into more and more and more density and losing the lightness of myself that I was experiencing. And then I was on Earth in a physical form. And it wasn't even a human physical form. So I had the whole download, the whole remembrance of that. All of these memories started coming in while I started doing the breath work and nighttime meditations. And I started having the recall of not only the traumas in this lifetime, but also these memories that I'm sharing. Yeah. How are you doing there, Jack?
Oh, I'm mind blown, yeah. And you also say pure lifestyle. Have you gone vegetarian, or is that what you mean by?
What I mean by pure lifestyle, yeah, I'm definitely fluctuating between vegan and vegetarian. I do go back to not being vegetarian here and there, and then go back to it. And it literally, the body knows exactly what it requires. So I think we get everything backwards. They say, oh, you have to become, like, you have to let go of all desires. You have to stop eating and all that. You have, and then
yeah, that's
you
the message I'm getting from you, that consistent message. That
you all wholly after that to do the practices. I say, start doing the practices and things will fall off naturally. So what happened with me is that my body synchronized with the rhythm of the planets. Oh, the planet, this planet, right? So sunrise up, sunset down. Right now it's pretty funny because it's like 7:30. I'm like passing out, right? Up for me for the meditation in the middle of the night, doing the work for people. And I work for people. I do healing work for people. During, it was the first part of the meditation. I give the energy to the people in need. I get tremendous amount of pictures sent to me for assistance with people's healing. And then I also do personal sessions for people. And then all of the involvement with the, like, there's no drama. The inner state is very peaceful and there is no longing for something. There's nothing missing. And so my lifestyle, I live surrounded by nature. I moved into the space where I live surrounded by nature, and it's a big love and family, you know, birds and bees and deer and all kinds of animals, and they just have that connection and trust with me, and it's very calm and peaceful, and the lifestyle is very clean. I don't eat or drink anything that is of a lower vibration, or nor do I participate in activities of the lower frequency, nor do I fill my mind or direct my mind to what's on, I don't have TV, but what's shown. And recently I haven't even been able to watch Netflix. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even watch movies anymore. But it's not that I suffer from that. It just kind of falls off, and you go into the state of complete contentment with a very peaceful and balanced, pure lifestyle of service.
Can I jump in, Jack?
Sure.
I've got a timeline question. Now, I realize that time, I do realize that, you know, we've got to take it sort of with a pinch of salt. But you remembering that you came down and you said before the dinosaurs. So we're talking more than 70 million years and before that, before, okay? Now, what we are told in our teachings, so this, I think this is quite interesting. We're told in our teachings that the majority of the people, or a large percentage of the people here on this planet now, came here after exploding a planet called Maldek, which is now the asteroid belt. And they were experimenting with hydrogen bombs, and they got...
I'm familiar with the story.
You see here, really greedy, selfish, and warring factions, and they took it to the nth, and they blew the planet up, and so they grossly mutated themselves, and then they started to reincarnate on Earth because
and
she decided
on Mars.
To be the foster mom,
and on Mars, by the way, not just on Earth. But also they went on Mars, because in the sessions that I do, I trace the the soul flow, the timelines for people. And some of these Tiamat or Maldek souls, they're also on Mars. Some of the Martian souls that experience the conflict, and that's why we have the Baron, right? That looks like the war went down on Mars. There's a different timeline. New Mars, so to speak, was created. Some of them came to Earth as well.
Now that's interesting too, because we're told that there was an event. No, so a bit further on, when we then came to Earth, we sort of did a reenactment, but we didn't blow the planet. We blew up Lemuria. And we were told just before that the entities which were ready didn't have to go through the reincarnation cycle, were evacuated by cities of Shen, which were giant spaceships from Mars. And so they were evacuated out to Mars. So
they were evacuating their... They were evacuating
because
their own.
They didn't have to go through. They didn't have to go through that re-in cycle. They didn't have to go through Atlantis and come back here. So the souls that were ready were taken off of Earth. Now I'm telling you as we've been given the teachings. But to go back to my original question. We were told that the ancient ones knew that this was happening because they can see into time. There is no time. You can see the pattern of the evolutionary pattern. This is going to happen, and so if you came before the dinosaurs, that's a long time before in our time. You know, we're told a long time before Maldek was destroyed. So what I'm trying to say is you came in preparation for the refugees, if you want, the people that had to reincarnate on Earth. If you were here before they came, because that was only 18 million only. But
if it was
we're
Adamic
told that
man, they yeah, started, we're told that Adamic man was yeah, here started, before.
Well, okay.
But the people from Maldek came 18 million years ago, well, started to reincarnate then.
Okay. So I came, as far as I know, I came when Earth shifted ownership. There was an occurrence in the cosmic history where
yeah,
the ownership,
man, maybe.
Where the ownership of Earth was, I didn't exactly know the details, but it went to the ownership of the beings who manipulated and created the actual physical bodies that we now have as Earth people.
Could have been the Senate Kamar, the Ancient of Days from the from Venus, who gave the bodies.
So I don't know exactly, but some of them are depicted as on the walls of ancient Egypt as gods. So I remember being, because as a soul, you're coming in, you're going to take the body that is available on the planet. And these bodies were the ones that were available. The bodies of non-terrestrial beings that were doing genetic manipulations to create the humans, all right? So I came into one of these bodies, and after that, I was not able to get out. I also was killed by my own people or my own type of beings, and they... Because I didn't think that what they were creating and what they were doing with the human race or with this kind of creation that they were putting together that was a human, that was fair or that was right or that was the right thing to do. So I kind of expressed that, and I was trying to oppose the way the humans were developed and treated, and what for, and all that. And they killed me. They were like, "You are in the way," and I could not get out of Earth plane, and so I went into the next available body as a human, thinking that I could make a difference or influence something. So I remember the next incarnation after that was when I was in the human form, and the extraterrestrials I'm talking about were still on this planet. So I don't know the time.
It was the Sene Kumar, and they created the Shambhala, wasn't it, on the highest realms, and they because Adamic Man left this earth. Because his lowest chakra, his root chakra, was the heart chakra, so everything below the heart in our bodies is kind of an
animal.
Abomination, or we didn't Adamic Man didn't reproduce, didn't need reproductive organs, didn't need to digest food in the way we have. So everything below the heart is that was not necessary for Adamic Man. So yeah, and the highest chakra in animals is our root chakra. So that's how.
Right. Because as far as I know, they took the animal DNA of the ape or whatever kind of and mixed it with their own and created the human vessel body vehicle. And that's why we carry non-terrestrial DNA. But I don't know any of these mythologies except or these stories or these what in detail, except having had visions, right, of my right. And memories of myself in these altered states that I'm talking about. So
we destroyed the planet Maldek. We needed vehicles of expression. We needed to go through incarnations. We needed to come from a very low state up, and then we went through Lemurius and the civilization of Atlantis, and now each time we destroyed ourselves and sank back down into the mud. So you've had a rough ride if you've been joining us for all this time. I do apologize.
I know, and I'm thinking I've had enough. So after this one, I'm getting
out. You got to raise that Kundalini all the way up and ascension now in this time. If I were you.
Yeah, just, and I think everyone can do this by doing the Kundalini pranayam, Kundalini okay. energy. Is the rocket fuel for your out-of-body experiences, your experiences of higher realms, or your experiences of samadhi. Just make sure don't get stuck in the astral plane. Go past that. And then you literally, if you are able to direct yourself, I call it quantum travel, direct yourself straight out of the physical form, then you're really free to go. And so anyone who wants to do this can do it. I don't think that it's all that, that it's mandatory to be running here for millions of years. I just didn't know how to get out until now.
And if you didn't, what's the hope for the rest of us? I mean, you make it sound so simple now, but it's... So you do astral projection now. You can leave the body in your...
Astral projection is not what you want to do, because this is where the reincarnation system is set up.
No, but right? You can leave the body, you can do etheric.
Yes. Astral projection, literally you lay down, you get super, super relaxed, and you kind of push your astral body out of the physical, and then you're standing in the room looking at that body. That's astral projection. And that only takes you around Earth plane, throughout the astral plane where the reincarnation cycle is set up, where the beings are there. To monitor that, where we go in the during near death experiences, and it has a membrane that doesn't allow you to get out.
So but you've done that.
I started doing that at 17 years old because it was fun, and I explored the astral realm through and through. I posit that the lower astral, that's where all the unpleasant spirits are, and we call it hell. And the upper astral is where it's beautiful, angelic, the music of the spheres, and the apparitions that look like Jesus talk to you and tell you you have to go back and do another 100 incarnations. So that's the astral plane and setup of, in my experience, in my observation, and in what I suggest. I'm not saying this is 100% the truth for everyone. I always say that every person needs to explore and have experiences, bring themselves to having experiences. Then you're going to know for sure. All right. Through experience, not through someone talking. Okay, but if you light up your Kundalini energy, through breathing exercise is so simple. All you need to do is just have a discipline to get up and do it every single day. Do that breathing exercises. Get out and you will shoot like a rocket out of the top of your head. You have an out-of-body experience that takes you straight past that astral plane and you are free. This is when you are in the state of omnipresence. This is when there are no spirits lurking around and experience giving you what you have in the astral plane. All right. So this is what I talk about in the very simple words and a very simple form in my book, saying, hey, everyone, if you just find it in yourself to sit and do this every day, you will spend a couple of years and you will liberate yourself. And then staying on Earth is going to become a choice, rather than just being recycled over and over.
Yeah. So it's in your book, the people, you explain all how to do the Kundalini exercises.
No, actually, I don't explain. I just say that I explain the nighttime meditation, the process, but I tell them the name. It's called Tantric Kriya, which means Tantric technique. Tantric Kriya, Kundalini Pranayam. Kundalini Pranayam is Kundalini breath, quite literally. If you translate all, put that all together. It's also called Cosmic Cobra Breath. So there are different variations of that. There are more advanced variations, less advanced variations. And there are variations where you move your spine, actually, while you're doing the breath, and you move your lower centers while you're doing the breath, when you can squeeze the lower centers, when you start from folding down, which a lot of practices do, even in Christian tradition, you start from folded down, then you unfold your spine and direct that energy. So it kind of pulls and creates the mechanical effect as well. So there are many different variations, and you can research. I tell everyone to just research and find. I believe that everyone can find a practice that resonates with them. It's not straightforward for every person. I've learned a certain technique, and then I experimented with it, and I learned other techniques from other teachers just so that I could find the most optimal way of doing these things that get me, that get my Kundalini going and get me out of the physical form. The mind, the stillness of the mind, coupled with the experience of omnipresence. And when your Kundalini goes up your spine and explodes in your head like that because you just squeezed it there and you did that breath and nope, there are no filters anymore. The filters shut down, you're gone. There's no talking in the brain. It's completely, you're completely liberated from all that, the brain burden that we carry around every single day.
Was it painful when it first burnt through Shishumna?
No, it wasn't painful. It was intense. It was like the sweat is running down your spine. Everything is like on fire. Your body is going to resist because the body, mind, ego complex structure is going to come up with all kinds of reasons why you should not do this. Once you start doing, oh, my knee hurts, oh, my back hurts, I need to lay down, oh, I'm too tired, oh, there is no time, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. All this is your body, mind, ego trying to keep you steady in your physical form. So that's something to overcome. And as you overcome it with discipline and keep doing it, the body, mind, ego team finds out that, okay, she's not going anywhere. She's going to be back and we can relax and not try to protect her and this and that. And then that stops. That stops. But the first time it's incredible because it literally, like, they call it the sonic boom, right? There's just this sound which you can only hear inside of your head, like that DMT experience. People talk about that, right? But that's naturally occurring. So it just, like, there's this loud sound inside within you that no one else can hear, and you burn, and there's like you're on fire up and down the spine. The sweat is running down, and then it just, like, fireworks, as if you're having 1,000 orgasms just inside your head, and then you're gone. That's it. And then everything just poof, and you're in as a black sea of consciousness. It's completely black, and everything is there, nothing at the same time. And you are only there as consciousness, because you are not that human anymore. You're not the being of any sort anymore. You're all of it at the same time. So it's like the space of everything and nothing at the same time. That was the beginning. That's what was happening at the beginning for me. Now it's much more peaceful. It just kind of, the body doesn't freak out so much anymore. So even with
so why did you elect to come back, Isabella? Why do you elect to come back every time?
Not every time.
You must make a choice.
This time, it's only when I shut down the heart and the breath, and then when I was gone. It was the only this one time, which was last week, only this one time that I had to make a choice to come back. Everything else, you are just back. You're just back. And I actually wrote in my book, because I wasn't aware that there is a choice. The previous level of samadhi is that then you just kind of gradually come back in. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't think that there was a choice. The yogic books, as I started reading these yogic books now, the Yogananda's autobiography of the yogi, after I started having interviews about this, because someone asked me, they said, are you doing Kriya Yoga? I was like, what's Kriya Yoga? I have no idea. And so I've learned a lot about the yogic practices over the last few months, literally. So the yogic practice, the yogic book says, Yogananda's book says that if you are able to maintain yourself in samadhi for 3 days, then the body will shut down and pass away. That's the way out. If that's, you know, if you're able to do that. But here, I had a choice and I came back, and it wasn't, you're not really have the capacity to think or give yourself a list of reasons why you're coming back, because you don't have a brain to analyze. You are the consciousness of omnipresence. And it doesn't have a brain. It's the consciousness. And then I heard my brain somewhere on earth going, I have to go back. Get back here. Get back here. I was like, oh, can I please just be here? So that's already brain activity restarted. And then I was like, okay, let's pull myself back in. Whoop, back in. Breathe, breathe. Okay, there we go.
Thank you. What a lovely 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we're told in the book that we're 3 days about enlightenment, then cosmic consciousness, then ascension. So the initiation of ascension is when you can raise it fully consciously, and then you go. So it's something to look forward to, maybe. I'm not one to tell you, but does that resonate that there is an initiation called ascension? That
Well, as I said at the beginning, I went into these practices without any initiation or any preparation. And I experienced what's listed as the nine freedoms right there before the last three. I experienced these as side effects of waking up your Kundalini energy and going into samadhi state.
It happens. You mean bravery, love, and service.
It happens naturally. Your life has changed. Your mentality has changed. Your consciousness has changed. Your choices are changed. Your state of being has changed. One time of samadhi and all of that starts coming together, let alone if you continue and have these experiences regularly. So I say that what is in that book is a traditional way. This is how they did it in yogic traditions too. You have to go through a long process of preparation, and then you arrive at the point where you can be initiated into the practices. But I think that that's possibly outdated by now. I would suggest that, and also human beings tend to get everything backwards, you know, so do the practices. And you will have the nine freedoms that are listed in the book. Do the nine freedoms first and then start doing the practices. That's so difficult because you have to completely change yourself to go there. But here you have one experience of samadhi and that happens naturally. That's it.
Okay.
So this
well,
is,
we're
this
told
is...
that if we were to give service and you had a lifetime of giving service and healing, and we're told that if we start moving our energy with the right motivation of healing the world, you know, using our body correctly, bringing in the love energy, sending it out, single-minded yeah. focus, doing your breathing, keeping the discipline going, then Kundalini will rise naturally. And that's what I'm hearing because your background is one of the healer. You said to us that you spend hours every day sending out healing to people. Yeah. You do one-to-one healing. So
yes,
maybe that
makes
a difference. That's
I started doing that after I started doing the practices. In 2010, I was not a healer. I was living in New York City. And I just got laid off from working in the corporate environment and financial services industry. I was very much a partier at that point. And I was just a very normal, very dense, very average, kind of regular, miserable, sick person. And then I started doing the breath work for 3 years. It took just to kind of address my traumas. And I started doing coaching at that point. And 2014 is when I added the nighttime, like started doing that during the night. And that's when all of the abilities opened up gradually. And I became able to do things that I do now as a healer. And I continue. And I learned that I am capable of influencing things long distance for people, and all of my sessions are long distance, meaning I don't see anyone in person. So your abilities come online as your filters are removed, and the practice. Okay. Your abilities come online as your filters are removed. And filters are removed through the practice of Kundalini Pranayama, in my experience. And the choices that you make with yourself, from my perspective, there's no karma yoga as far as like first changing your behavior to get somewhere. Your behavior will change as a side effect of experiencing the energy of God. The samadhi state allows you to experience as the super consciousness, the omnipresence, the energy that creates and sustains worlds, the field, the quantum field of information, or God, all of that. Once you experience that one time, you're a changed person, and there is no need to force yourself into doing anything to get there before. So this is what happened to me. But again, traditionally, through all the yogic practices, and then let's bring the time frame too. Dr. King, who I have the highest respect for his offering, in the 1950s, 1960s, we didn't have access to any of this. We didn't have access to any of that information. He was a pioneer, and what he was bringing was correct for that time. Perhaps now is a different time because you can get information about mystical experiences, about yogic practices, about all kinds of stuff, cosmic events, all of that is available publicly everywhere. So it's a different era, perhaps. And so it definitely works in the 1950s, 1960s that you have to slowly prepare yourself so you don't freak out when you have a Kundalini awakening. But now I think that there is enough of information not to stay in ignorance that you can collect as you are having the Kundalini experience just to figure out what's happening with you and why.
Well, this has certainly been an eye-opening episode, a very enlightening one, and we can keep talking. But I hope you'll come back on in the future and we can pick up where we left off.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Jack.
Where could people pick up your book, learn more about you, maybe get a session with you?
My book, Leaving the Trap, is on Amazon. Amazon is the only place where I put it. I believe in the path of least resistance. And my sessions are available at isabellagreen.com. They will need to send me a session request form, and they will need some patience because right now I'm booked all the way till the summer of 2024 just for introductory interviews. But it's worth it because during this session, the personal, it's all day intensive for a client, and you will learn so much about yourself starting from this lifetime and the traumas that might still be running, the programs that are still running in the subconscious, and all the way into where your soul is also having experiences outside of the earth plane, in other worlds, on other planets, and as other races, as a multidimensional being, lifetimes, past lives, and everything in between. It's a very involved, very rich offering. And so I'm in high demand.
All right. Well, certainly something to think about. And if people want to learn more about the Aetherius Society, they can go to aetherius.org. Thanks very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Jack. Thank you, Deborah. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Isabella. Thank you. Bye, love.
Well, Deborah, that was an amazing interview. One of our best. And he's given us a lot to think about. So we've got together now to record a little after-show conversation to analyze some of the things we've just heard. So what do you kick things off? What do you think?
Well, the thing that really struck me the most is that she believes what she believes. So I totally, her sincerity is absolute. And also the fact that she practices and her discipline to practice. Just think about this. In 2010, and if I'm going to get these facts wrong, then forgive me. But 2010, she started to breathing exercises. And she did them every day religiously for 3 years before she got any real results. But from the age of 17, she's been flying around the astral realm. So it wasn't as if she wasn't a didn't know something before, didn't start off as like a complete numpty, did she? So then we've got this 2010, and then 3 years later, she adds on this extra bringing up the kundalini up through her head, I mean, to beyond the astral realms. It took her 9 years to get a result. She didn't get a result until 4 weeks ago. Well, a couple of weeks, actually 4 weeks ago, because she sent me an email. And I was really like super excited that she'd gone to this next level. But that wasn't like an instant success. It took her 9 years. Now, in numerology, Jack, 9 years is a full cycle for a human. So we reset every 9 years. So the fact that she's gone there instantly, oh yeah, of course, it's really quick and it's really great. But people will have to put in, to be even as good as her, 12, 13 years worth of practice, of which the nice last nine is getting up at 3:30 in the morning. Thank you very much. So, not, you know, she made light of that, but that's really significant. Mm. I mean, I know how difficult it is for me to sit on my chair and do my 20 minutes breathing followed by 20 minutes mantra. It's, you know, and then my prayers and what have you. Can I carry on to keep talking at you, my love?
Oh, no, go ahead. You're doing a good thing.
Okay. All right. The other really interesting thing is she said that we put the, Deborah's words again, should we put the cart before the horse? And what she was saying in that respect is that the want to serve and to help and to heal comes after you have these mystic experiences, because your heightened awareness tells you that that's the right thing to do. She then said that she felt that perhaps when Dr. King was introducing this back in the 50s and the 60s, it had to be that way around because people didn't have this knowledge as openly as we have here. Now, I think that that's a really valid point to take on board. And then the other thing that came to me is that we're told by Dr. King that, and by the Cosmic Masters, that as you send out your thought, from that point, you've made a channel and the energy flows back in. So the first time you send your thoughts, let's say your prayers to the Master Jesus, you will have made a channel. The more times you do it, bigger the channel, the more people that adopt exactly the same, enacting exactly the same way and practices, the bigger the channel. So you go from a white road to a B road to an A road to a motorway.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's really important to keep with your chosen path. Because if you keep swapping around, you're starting again with a having to get into the groove of somebody else's way. So I think
looking back, I was a bit, you know, swept away. You know, it's when someone talks about these high states, especially, you know, you just get your jaw drops. And but I don't think, you know, it's not an official Aetherius Society podcast for a reason. In that we didn't stand up. Like if that was Richard Lawrence or someone else from the society, they would give a much firmer defense of the slow and steady path. Mm. And I think that's something we didn't really, because it's dangerous. I mean, the Kundalini, for one, there are many reasons. I mean, but one of them is that the Kundalini is dangerous. She made very light of it, but you know, there's many people have been made raving mad, paralyzed. What she's doing is dangerous, and she's obviously very advanced, as you said. I mean, Dr. King said that if you want to remain motionless like that, it takes 50 lives of preparation, something like that. But she must have had excellent powers of concentration, determination, willpower. So she was obviously very advanced, and so I don't believe it's the path for everyone. No.
No, absolutely not. And of course, we are told that we're trying to slow down the quickening, if that makes any sense, the rising of vibrations, to give a chance for everybody to get through, to understand it. And of course, if you're doing little pockets and you're going through, that's not the all-inclusive path. But we're also told that many paths are, there are many paths to the same source. So, one last point before we wrap this up, from my side, if you like, that she said she came here before the dinosaurs. Now, if you remember, I picked up on that. So she wasn't from Maldek. So she wasn't carrying the karma of people, like the vast majority of people that are living here on this planet now, from the Maldek karma. And so that in itself, although she's been here 70 million years plus.
It's a lot to take in. I mean, I can't comment on that. It sounds like.
But the fact of the matter is, if she wasn't involved in living on Maldek and therefore participating in the pressing of the button, then her karma won't be as heavy.
I mean, there was a conversation way above our pay grade. You know, it was a really, I would like to have someone like Richard or Nehemiah Davis or somebody who's experienced cosmic states and said, you know, they can discuss things on their own level. For them to have a conversation would be really nice. And then we could, because then you can compare states, and, you know, it's just like talking about a subject where we have no personal experience of it is very difficult. So,
but fun, I think though.
It's interesting to hear about, but still not get distracted from the fact that service is the jewel and the rock of attainment. The Aetherius Society King Yoga is all about, okay, you do your practices, yes, do them as much as you can. If you can do 3 hours a day, you know, if you can get up at 3 a.m. and do it, get, you know, finish at 6, you know, that's great. Do that. But as Dr. King says, if your neighbor needs help cutting the grass, you stop your practices and you go and help them. Because
on the practices as well, Jack, can we give a plug for Awakening Through Kirin Yoga? It's got a Facebook group which is all about practice like a spiritual gym.
Yeah.
And that's open to anybody that wants to send us a request to join. So,
yeah, exactly. Maybe now's a good time to mention that you're stepping back from this podcast to help with Awakening King Yoga.
Yeah, and to promote the value of developing ourselves with our practices alongside giving service, because the better channels we can be, the more we can channel the higher love energies out to the world. And as we both know, everybody knows, this world needs as much help as it can get.
Yeah, so you'll be organizing awakening chats on there. Just so people don't know, if they don't see you in the future, that I haven't kicked you out, I haven't finally lost my rag. You're doing this of your own volition, because there's only so much Deborah to go around.
Okay. Thank you, my Jack.
And also we should mention the Aetherius Radio podcast. I wanted to do an episode on that. So it'd be good to do a reaction episode on that, because that had a lot of parallels with what we're talking about with Isabel, wasn't it? What was the episode and that title? Do you remember that?
I can't remember. Sorry.
It was your soul, something like that. Contacting your higher self, something like that, I think. It was super interesting, the latest Red episode. And so people should also check out that as well. And we'll try and get Isabel back on the show and in conversation with someone
who knows a little bit more than you or I.
Yeah. And hopefully she will come into the King Yoga group on Facebook for an awakening chat as well.
Yeah, let's hope so.
All right. Thanks for all your work, Deborah. You've been a wonderful help.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.